Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. Jeremiah, chapter 36. I want to spend a little time this morning looking at two widely different ways in which men accept the Word of God. We see this, or see these two things in this chapter. And it's a very interesting text. And in just a moment, we'll read the text, and then we will give some of the highlights and just kind of point those out one more time and see if we can learn some lessons from this wonderful, wonderful text in regard to the Word of God and how it will persevere, it will survive, no matter what men may try to do to it. Good to see everyone here. We do have visitors. We thank you for that. We also are missing a lot of those who, those who are sick. They are truly missed. And we have some out of town. Jenna and Michael are in Fayetteville this morning. And we have a lot in the nursing home. We need to remember them. And it was Hal that went to see Jeff Hunter and gave the report on Jeff. And yes, Jeff and Marguerite Graves both have expressed a desire to have visitors. So we need to do what we can to get out and see them and the others who are shut-ins. In this chapter, we find the Word of God revealed. We find it read. We find it believed. We find it rejected. And then we find it persevering. Now, those are the main points that we can see in this text. I said we would read it. I would like to encourage you to read it. I'm going to go ahead and forego the reading of it. We'll be reading verses out of it as we go through the lesson. I'd like to encourage you to go this afternoon and sit down and read this chapter. I'll give you an overview of it, a pretty explicit overview. So first, in verses 1 through 3, we find this. Jeremiah is commanded by God to write down the prophecies of doom against Judah that he had revealed to him. In fact, in verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah." Remember Josiah, he's the one who found the law and read it. And when he heard it, he tore his clothes. He was a man that loved the Lord and restored the Word of God in the kingdom. But here you have his son, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from that day of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, so that they may turn." And that was the point. The point was that to get Judah to realize their sins and turn away and turn back to God. Baruch is told then to write the words as Jeremiah dictates them. That's in verses 4 and verse 18. So Jeremiah calls Baruch and tells him to write these words, and he does at the instructions of Jeremiah, or as some translations say, dictated by Jeremiah. And then Baruch is told to go and read the book in the people's hearing. That's found in verse 7. "For it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people." So then Baruch goes and does what Jeremiah tells him to do. And so they proclaimed a fast. The people were gathering for a worship, in other words, and they were coming together. And that's when Baruch took the opportunity to read to them the word of Jeremiah, or the word of God from Jeremiah. Then Micaiah, one of the men who hears the words. Micaiah is a very interesting character, by the way. And not just Micaiah himself, but his entire family is very interesting. You can read about his lineage, and you can go back and do the family tree. And you can find some very interesting men, including his father. So, very interesting story. I might talk about that a little bit more as we go through this. Both Shaphan, who is the head of the family, his sons and grandsons are sprinkled throughout both Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Jeremiah, and other books, and very interesting family, and a family of people who trusted and obeyed the Lord and served the Lord. So Micaiah hears the reading of Baruch and tells the princes and the nobles. And from that point on, the princes and nobles send for Baruch, and they want to hear the words of Jeremiah read to them personally. So Baruch comes and he reads to them, and they react with fear. When they hear the words of God, they react with fear and they tremble and they insist. The king's got to hear this message. They believe the message. So they want to get the message to the king. Well, they tell Baruch and Jeremiah to go and hide while they do this for their protection, because they had an idea that Jehoiakim wasn't going to be too happy when he hears the news. And then Jehoiakim hears of the writing. He commands Jehudi to go get the scroll, bring it, and read it before him. So Jehudi does just that. After he reads three or four columns, verses 22 and 23 says this: "And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them." So he burns the scroll, the word of God. And as a few men try to stop him, they fail. And this, the king then sends, in verse 26, for Baruch and Jeremiah to arrest them. And of course, then the Lord protected them. The Lord hid them. Then, in verse 27, we see that after the king had burned the scroll, in verse 28, God tells Jeremiah to go get another scroll and write all these words that I have told you before, and add these words specifically for Jehoiakim. So, very interesting text. Jeremiah does what God says. The word of God is preserved and goes forth and stands as a testimony against Jehoiakim, the one who had tried to destroy the scriptures, as we read earlier in 2 Chronicles. What happened to Jehoiakim? He was taken captive by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar took him back in fetters. And in 2 Kings, it said there that thus Jehoiakim rested with his father. Jehoiakim died. Jehoiakim died a prisoner. And so Jeremiah's words are indeed true. Okay, let's learn some lessons from this text. First of all, what about the Word of God itself? What can we learn about the Word? In verses 1 and 2, again, God tells Jeremiah, verse 2, "Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you." Where did these words come from? They came from God Himself. Now, as Jeremiah had these words accurately written down, they were indeed the very words of God. So all the words of the Lord were to be written. Jeremiah dictates to Baruch all the words of the Lord, verses 4 and verse 18. So these words are being written as God had given them to Jeremiah. Now later, I'll tell you an interesting thing. In verse 6, look at verse 6. "You go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord." These weren't the words of Jeremiah. These weren't the words of Baruch. These were the words of the Lord. And then, again, in verse 8, "And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house." So as he is reading, these words are spoken of as being the words of the Lord. And the same in verse 11. "When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book." These words were the words of the Lord. Now, the words of Scripture
are to be understood as being the very words of God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, when Jeremiah is called, Jeremiah is told to go and prophesy. But listen to what it says in verse 5. Before I formed you, I knew you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So the words of Jeremiah were indeed the words, the very words of God, because the Lord God put those words in his mouth. And thus they were recognized. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer is quoting from the book of Jeremiah. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, we read this. The Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, and then the Hebrew writer begins to quote from Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. And the Hebrew writer says, These are the words of the Holy Spirit. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, Their sins and all his deeds I will remember no more. So, these are the words of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is testifying through Jeremiah. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, we read there that the Word of God, the Scriptures, are given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there is no such thing as a prophet of God speaking on his own, for his own. These men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says, Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what that means, a lot of people say, well, that means I can't understand what it says. That's not the point. The point is that the Scriptures were not of private or individual origin. They were of God. People didn't make these things up or come to these conclusions themselves. They didn't come up with the ideas. God did. And so God is the source. He is the origin of Scripture, not man. That's the point of verse 20. Then verse 21, For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17, All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Scriptures, the Word of God, is given by God and from God, and thus we need to realize that. Okay. Also, but that should be 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, by the way, on that next. You may want to change that if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. These are words of the Holy Spirit. So, the Scriptures are the product of God. How precious, how valuable, how wonderful is the Word of God? Have you ever thought about, how much time do you spend thinking about that? You know, Jehoiakim tried to burn it. Cut it up in pieces and burn it. That shows you how some people do feel about the Word of God. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? Individually, personally, do you respect it? Are you thankful for it? Do you love it? David said, Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119, verse 97. How precious and how wonderful, how valuable is this book? The Word of God is for the purpose of God. This is something else we learn from our text. Notice in verse 6, what's the purpose of this? You go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at the instruction of the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people of the Lord's house on the day of fasting, and you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It's for all of them. All people. As you look in verse 10, it says, Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate at the Lord's house in the hearing of all the people. You know, the Lord revealed His Word, and it is intended for everybody. There are religious groups, Catholic Church in particular, that has tried to hide or keep the Word of God from His people. They, in fact, kept it in a particular language and tried to keep it from the people on purpose. In a debate that Wayne Grieson was involved in with a Catholic priest in Fayetteville, Arkansas, several years ago, this Catholic priest made the point and argued that the Bible is, in fact, bad for people, and that thus it should be protected and only kept in the hands of those who can accurately understand it in view of the Church. And the Catholic Church has long held that view, that it's not good for the people to have the Word of God. There are people who make that argument today. But the Bible is for all people. And thus it was in Jeremiah's day. And it was for the purpose of warning them. Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 2 and 3. It was to warn them of impending doom. God is coming in judgment against you. And we have a whole class of preachers today who never speak of doom. They never speak of problems coming because of sin. They never talk about that. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about consequences. They sure don't talk about hell. All they want to do is smile and tell you how wonderful things are going to be. But the Word of God is to warn people. There are many passages throughout the Bible full of warning. Also, that they may turn from their evil way. Verses 3 and 7, in actuality then, the Word of God is for the purpose of saving men. It is to get them to turn from their sins so that they may be saved. It is so that they will recognize their sins. Verses 3 and 7. In verse 7 it says, that it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. That they may be saved from their destruction. The purpose of the gospel. You think about this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul says that he had written these things from the direction of the Holy Spirit so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The writings of the Old and New Testament are written in order that men can obey or can read them and understand them. The Word of God can be understood. And the Word of God is for all men. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. And the Word of God, when it was written, the epistles as they were written, they were sent to churches and they were to copy those and read them and they would send them to other churches. All the churches were to read these epistles. The Word of God is for the common man. It's for everybody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul gave warning. The Word of God, the gospel, is to warn men of the rejection of it. If men reject the gospel, if men reject Jesus Christ, what will be the consequence of that? What is the consequence of sin? It's death. And so the gospel warns us. In Acts 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's everybody. But in order for men to repent, they have to hear that word. They have to hear the gospel. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, the prophet there says that the word of God will not return to him void. In other words, the word of God will accomplish its purpose. In verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. The Word of God will be successful. And we are seeing today in our religious environment people who, they don't trust the Word of God, they don't teach the Word of God, they don't believe the Word of God. So they have turned to their own means of growing their churches, their own means of religious activities. And most of them are centered around what people want. They're centered around what pleases individuals. They try to entertain them and try to recreate them. And that's their idea of building their church, giving people what they want. They even take polls to find out what people want. And so that's successful church building. Well, the gospel, according to the Scripture, is God's means of successful church building. Preach the gospel. People will hear it, and the people who want to hear it will be saved, and the people who do not will be lost. It all centers around the gospel. The gospel is God's power, Romans 1:16. The gospel is God's power to save man. Nothing else. No gimmick or anything else that we may come up with has the power to save anybody. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will accomplish. God's Word will accomplish its mission. It will separate those who are truly interested in it, in God, and those who are not. So, God's Word will accomplish its purpose. Now, some will receive it. Micaiah heard all the words of the Lord. It seems that he listened very intently to what was being said. He was very careful to follow along as Baruch read from the scroll. Micaiah then went and he told others. He didn't keep it to himself. He heard something amazing. This is the Word of God. And I've got to tell other people about this. So in verses 12 and 13, he goes and he tells others about it. It says in verse 12, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting. Elishem the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Akbar, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. So Micaiah goes and he shares and he tells others. They desire to learn more. They hear Baruch. They see his interest in it. They see that he's fired up about it. And that gets them interested in it. They want to hear it for themselves. So they send for Baruch to come and read. Verses 14 and 15. And then, well, in verse 15 it says, and they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing, and what was their response? They believed with fear. Look at verse 16. It says, now it happened when they heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. They looked in fear at one another. Why did they look in fear at one another? They looked in fear because they heard the words of judgment that was coming upon them and they believed them. If they hadn't believed them, they wouldn't have been afraid. They hadn't believed them, they'd have been like Jehoiakim. We'll see that in just a minute. But they tried to protect God's messengers. That's another indication. They believed what was said. They respected these men as men of God, and that the message was indeed from God. Verse 19. So, some will receive it. Now, today, some will receive the Word of God, some will reject it, sadly. But some will receive it. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that when we go out and we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, we talk to others about it, that there are people out there that want to believe it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, or chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10, we read of the church in Thessalonica and how they receive the Word of God. In verse 5, Paul says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know, what kind of men we were among you for your sake. For you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you have become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The Thessalonians received it as the Word of God. Verse 5 and chapter 2 and verse 13 also makes that point. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you also did not as the Word of men, but as it was indeed the Word of God. So they received it as the Word. They became followers of it. They became followers, verse 6, and they received the Word even in much affliction. They suffered, and they didn't turn away from it. They continued to follow. They suffered, and they continued following the Lord. They told others, verse 8. Those who receive the Word of God, who believe the Word of God, we see throughout Scripture, they have a tendency to share what they have found. And so the word of the Lord sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. These people were very active in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, they turned from sin. They turned from idolatry. They turned from things that would separate them from God. And thus they turned to the Lord. They turned away from sin and to the Lord. That's what repentance is. That's what repentance is. They turned away from sin and turned to the Lord, and they received salvation. They avoided the wrath to come. This world is going to end. You know, there's a movie that just came out this weekend, 2012. The Mayan calendar predicts that 2012, the world is going to come to an end. That's the last day on the calendar. And so they've made a movie about it, sort of. I saw where the director made the comment that he hoped that people didn't really believe the movie. It's of Hollywood, it's fiction. That was what the director said. But I will say this. No one knows what day or hour this world is coming to an end, but it will end. This world's going to be destroyed. We will all stand before God on the day of judgment. And if we have not submitted to Jesus Christ by faith, then we are going to experience the wrath that is to come. The gospel warns us about that. So some will receive it, and thus they will escape the wrath that is to come, but some will reject it. Going back to our text, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he sends for the Word of God. He wants it brought into his presence. So, is he a pretender? Does he just want to hear it for himself? What's the deal with Jehoiakim? He wants it read. He hears about it, but he wants it brought and he wants it read. Well, we find out why. He wants to destroy it. And so, after the reading of just three or four columns, Jehoiakim has it, or he begins to cut it up and throw it into the fire. Maybe you've heard sermons or you've heard lessons about lessons called penknife religion, where people just cut out what they want out of the Bible and they keep what they want. They cut out and throw other parts away. Well, this is where they get that lesson from. Jehoiakim cut the Word of God up and he threw it into the fire. Verses 22 and 23. Then the king and his servants have no fear or respect. And of course, if someone is going to be so bold as to cut up the Word of God and throw it into the fire, rejecting what it says, you look at verses 24 and 25. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. They didn't care what it said. They didn't believe it. And again, you can contrast Jehoiakim and his attitude with that of his father Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22 verses 11 through 13. Josiah found the Word of God. When he heard the Word of God read, he tore his clothes and he repented, and he tried to do everything he could to get the Word of God restored and read to the people. and get the nation to turn back to God because the nation had sinned. But not Jehoiakim.
Jehoiakim wasn't afraid.
He wasn't afraid of the Word of God. You know, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says that fear is the beginning of knowledge. And if we don't respect the Word of God, we're not going to believe it. We're not going to learn it. We don't care about it. We're indifferent towards it. In fact, we can become hostile towards it. The king commands Jeremiah and Baruch to be seized. Of course, the Lord hides them. So some will reject it, and not only will they reject it, but they will try to punish and try to persecute those who believe it and those who teach it. We live in a great country. And we live where we are free to believe and assemble and worship. But you know, I'm worried about the future. I really am. I can see more and more those who are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christianity, how they are getting more and more steam to silence the church. I've said several times the day will come, and I do believe in my lifetime, the day will come when it will be against the law to preach against homosexuality. We're getting closer all the time. We live in a country that right now is free, but I see where we could be persecuted because we stand for the truth. And you know, Christianity, believing in what God says, following what God says, has always been unpopular. By the way, that should be a red flag. If you see something that's really, 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 really popular and everybody wants to do it, that should be a red flag. Something's up with that particular group. But persecution and trials. We're going to be facing that, I'm afraid, here in America real soon. Men have repeatedly rejected the Word of God. That's always been the case. Always. You go back to Mark 7 and verse 9, Acts 7, you know, Jesus was rejected. You have Acts 7 verses 51 and 52, Stephen and his words being rejected. You have Acts 13, 46. The Word of God is always, as Paul is rejected, all the apostles were rejected. That's just the way it was. Men have repeatedly rejected the Word of God. Men are still rejecting the Word of God today. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul there says that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, that all says, as they are searing their conscience, they don't hear the Word. They're hearing other stuff. Error. And they are rejecting the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and by the way, that again, in latter times. We're there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 1 through 5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than loving lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, the power of it. And what they are doing is they are denying the power of the gospel. They want their own godliness and not true godliness. And so we have all kinds of fraudulent religions out there. People doing what they want to do, satisfying their own desires instead of doing what God wants. Men are still rejecting the Word of God today. They're cutting the Word up. They're doing with it what they want. You have the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God. practiced throughout the religious world. You have those who are corrupting the Scriptures. They are adding to the Scriptures and taking away from the Scriptures. They're doing what they want to do. If God says, I can't do that, well, I want to do it, so, you know, I don't think that's really what God meant. And if God says you shouldn't do something, well, I think I want to do that, so I really don't think that's what God meant. People corrupt the Scriptures all the time. And then you want to do something, and so you go to a preacher and you try to find out if it's something you ought to do, and he'll tell you that, well, this is what the Bible says about it. Well, that doesn't satisfy you, so you go to find some preacher that says, well, the Lord told me that you can do that. And we have preachers all over the place in the religious climate like that we live in today like that. They're claiming modern-day revelations. God told me this. God put this into my heart, and I feel this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. And then you have liberalism. People just, doesn't matter what the Bible says anyway. No, we're going to do what we want to do. The Bible, and you hear this, this is the kind of terminology that you hear today. You know, the Bible is really just a love letter. It's not a code of law. We see that people are trying to take all authority out of the Scripture. We don't need to establish authority, we're told. And that is a major problem in the religious world today. Liberalism. The rejection of all authority of God. And of course, from there, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we'll talk about others. Yes, they reject it, and I mean they wholeheartedly reject it, to the point that they try to completely destroy it, literally. But man can't do that. God instructs Jeremiah in verses 28 and 29 to write again the words that he had revealed to him before, plus other words. Look in verse 28. Take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out into the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed. Judgment was coming. And since Jehoiakim rejected the words of God and burned them in the fire, now something even worse is going to happen to Jehoiakim. God spells it out. And he was carried away captive into Babylon. Now, we don't read of his death, but we do read of him resting with his fathers. We don't read of how he died. But this scripture seems to indicate that he died a humiliating death. He was left outside. So, God instructs Jeremiah to write on another scroll the previous words. And then Jeremiah obeys the Lord, writes all these words that have been previously written, along with additional words of continued or personal destruction of Jehoiakim. Verse 32, then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it all the instructions of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and besides, there were added to them many similar words. You know, unbelief doesn't change the fact that God's word is true. People can reject it. They can even try to take it up and destroy it. But it doesn't change the fact that what God says is true. John 17 and verse 17, thy word is true. Sanctify them through thy word is true. And even though Jehoiakim didn't believe what God said, didn't change the truth of it. We can reject God's word, but it doesn't change what God says. Men may reject God's word at their own peril. When we reject God's Word, what happened to Jehoiakim? We reject it at our own peril. The Word of God is given to save us. Not to condemn us, but to save us. It is instructing us of the wrath that is to come and pleading with us to repent. It is pleading with us to come back and to the Lord and to serve Him. You know, in Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the purpose of God and what's His intent. Look in verse 4. Oh, do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And then he goes on and he talks about how He will render to everyone according to his deeds. Judgment is coming. But God doesn't want you to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But men reject God's Word at their own peril. Those who rejected God's law in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18 and 19, they were condemned. And the same thing is true with us. In John 12, 48 through 49, Jesus says there that the words that I speak to you, they shall judge you in the last day. Those who reject Jesus Christ will face the wrath of God. God's Word will last forever. God's Word will last forever. There is no such thing as, you know, Jehoiakim tried, but there is no way that a man or men can destroy God's Word. It will last forever. And we see, I think, the evidence of that, don't we? Here we are 2,000 years this side of Christ, and His gospel is still here. There have been entire nations trying to destroy it. The world empire of Rome tried to destroy it at first. They failed. The Catholic Church, in a way, tried to destroy it in that they tried to keep it from the people. They tried to destroy it in the lives of men. But they failed. Men came along with printing presses. Men came along translating the Scriptures into other languages. Men came along and got the Word to the people. The Word of Jesus said, "My words will never pass away." The critics failed. There have been those who have tried to destroy the Word of God, such as Islam, Muslims, and modernists today have failed. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard of the story of Voltaire. You've heard of Voltaire, the famous French philosopher. He made a statement when he was 17 years old that he would single-handedly destroy Christianity. He said within 20 years, Christianity will be gone. In 50 years, no one will remember it. It's told that the very house where he did most of his work in publishing became the house after his death of the Geneva Bible Convention. Well, Voltaire was a false prophet, wasn't he? He didn't destroy Christianity. He didn't destroy the Word of God. Many men have tried, but they have failed. Jesus said, "My words will never fail." In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, the Word of God will last forever. And the Word of God will be there to face us on the day of judgment. Again, John 12, 48 and 49. So there have been many who have stood against the Word of God. They've tried to destroy it, but they have failed over and over and over. "Hammer away, ye hostile hands. Our hammers will break. God's anvil stands." People have beat upon it. You have atheists trying to dismantle it. You even have, and I'll say this, the greatest threat to the Word of God and those who have done the most damage to it are those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who just want to do what they want to do. And they have so perverted it in the minds of people that men are actually inoculated to the truth of the Bible. They don't take the time to pick it up and read it for themselves. People have been deceived into thinking, well, let's just listen to what the preacher says. Let's just do what we're told. And people fail to pick it up and read it because of what they've been taught. But the Word of God still stands. It's still there for the heart of the Bereans, those who have that kind of heart. The Word of God is still there. And people can still find the truth. Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith's door, and I heard the anvil ring, the vesper chime. When looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, I said, to wear and batter these hammers so? Just one, said he. Then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's Word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil isn't harmed, the hammer's gone. The Word of God is from God, and it will accomplish God's purpose. Some will reject it. Some will receive it. Which group do you fall into? Which group do you fall into? Do you receive or reject the Word of God when it's taught to you or when you read it? We need to be people who receive it. And it's interesting, when you get on over to chapter 39 of Jeremiah, God protects Jeremiah. He protects those men that we read about in chapter 36 who tried to preserve the Word of God. But all the rest, they were destroyed. Man can't destroy the Bible. I don't care how hard they try. Never be destroyed. But you and I, if we reject it, will be. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is preached. The gospel has been preached to all nations, and you are encouraged to obey it. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But he that does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16. Maybe you've fallen away, you've wandered away from the truth. Receive the Word of God. Repent. Come back to the Lord, and He'll forgive you. That's what the Word of God is for, to draw you back to Himself. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come?